The Electric Circus. Insert coin. Thank you. Press start.
That's right, The Electric Circus, the totally geek-tastic podcast devoted to news, reviews, rants, and raves on your favorite stuff, games, gear, cons, cosplay, and more. And here's the ringmasters for today's circus, Ray Gun and Uber Nerd 527. So let's go down to the center ring. The show's about to begin.
Hey, hey, arcaders, happy new year, and welcome to the Electric Circus podcast and our first podcast episode of 2021. My name is Joshua the Uber Nerd, and this is the podcast where we talk about pop culture subjects that you care about, including video games, TV, movies, and more, with roundtable discussions, with reviews, and nostalgic views. Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. We are part of thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. So if you like this podcast, you want to check out all the other articles and videos and webcomics and all the other fun things that we have, including our latest episode of the Electric Circus podcast before this one, which was a deep dive into the second season of The Mandalorian from Disney Plus. So if you would like to give it a shot, it's really cool. Me and Danny, the Ultrasonic Player, one of my co-hosts, we talk at length about the season, and I hope you guys go back and check that out, because that was a really good discussion. Go ahead and check that out at thearcadearchives.com. Now, on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about an indie comic called Poem of Light, which was created by a friend of mine, Diana Rex. And we're going to ask her questions about her comic, about being an artist, an indie artist, and also how, if you're interested, you can get started as an indie artist yourself. Now, just a little bit of background. I myself am a published indie comic book artist. I have, of course, the webcomic, The Tales from the Game Grid, which you can find on our website. And also, I published my own comic called The Blue Flame Legends. With this experience, I hope that I answer all the questions that you yourself want to ask. And if you want to ask her any further questions at the end of the podcast, she does share where to find more information and also get in contact with her on social media. So without further ado, we're going to go into our interview. This was recorded before the new year, so I hope you guys enjoy it. Say hello, Diana.
Howdy, partners.
We've been friends for a very long time. I wanted to really talk about, especially since just recently the last chapter of your comic came out, right?
That's right. I finished like a couple days ago, and I have just been working on getting it out there, getting the word out, and advertising. And I thought, you know what? It's a really good way to end the year with completing my first ever comic.
Yeah, awesome. I've got some questions for you that I'm going to ask, and I've even got some questions from some other people that I might throw in there as well as we go through. So we're going to start off with how long have you been drawing or been interested in art?
Great question. I want to say at least since fourth grade, maybe. I think I got into like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Sailor Moon, and then I wanted to draw them and make my own Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards. So I've been drawing like at least, you know, what I would call real drawing, like more than just like I'm a kid who's given a coloring sheet ever since then. So I guess like, what, 9 years old maybe? Yeah, it's been a good run.
All right, okay. So next would be what influences your art? This could be TV shows, this could be movies, this could be specific artists that may influence you.
Awesome, yeah, no, that's great. I think one of my earliest influences, besides, you know, watching anime and stuff like that, is actually Harry Potter. I was very into the series, and I wanted to kind of illustrate, you know, what Harry and the gang would look like. This was even before the movies came out. So that was one of my earlier influences. And one of my biggest influencers since then was, I think in about fifth grade, I stumbled across Shonen Jump. This is a big manga anthology magazine, for those of you who are not familiar, but just a bunch of different comics and manga from Japan. And I grabbed it at like a Walmart because it had Yu-Gi-Oh! On the cover, and then later I discovered what would be my favorite and most crucial manga, which was Naruto. And I just really connected with his story. It was more than just a comic to me. It was like, oh, I can really connect with this character. It feels deeper. It feels different than just, you know, a typical cartoon show. And so I started trying to draw like ninjas and my own ninja comics, which were blatant ripoffs of Naruto, just a different hair color or something like that. But I would make comic books with my friends in class. During class, actually, I was one of those students who got in trouble for doodling more than doing their work in class. But yeah, that tremendously influenced me. And then later on in high school, I got into shoujo manga, which is more like the girly feminine stuff, like Fruits Basket, had a huge impact on me. So I had this really interesting mix of both like super girly and then super like action punch boy manga. And then later on, I found out about webtoons. And that's actually what kind of kickstarted my journey for this comic. But I'll save that for another question, I'm sure.
Okay. What kind of like artist influenced you? Is there any specific artists that you like?
I definitely liked a bunch of different manga artists. The artists behind those stories that I mentioned earlier, like Masashi Kishimoto did Naruto. And I'm blanking on the name of whoever did Fruits Basket, but... ever since then, I've just been kind of inspired by different, like, random artists I've seen on, like, Pinterest or Twitter or Instagram or later Tumblr. Just inspired by a whole bunch of artists who are kind of like me, just trying to get their art out there, get their names out there. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really cool. I actually found out about Webtoon because Stan Lee was holding a contest that I found out about on DeviantArt, and they're saying, hey, like, cash prize, or there's a manga contest that'll be judged by Stan Lee to make a superhero theme. And I was super excited, and I had all these like comic ideas in my head, and I started drawing one, but I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I went in completely unprepared, and it took way too long to just get like the first chapter out, so I actually let that one sit for like 5 years. I haven't done anything with it since, but now that I kind of know the process thanks to doing this comic, I think it would be easier to start back up again, do like a full ongoing series.
Cool. Very cool. All right. How does your life impact your work?
Ooh, what a great question. Yeah, I actually think it's very important to have many different kinds of experiences and trying new things, hanging out with different people, because whenever you write your stories, you know, you don't want all the characters to come out just all the same, looking just like you or just like each other. You know, if that makes any sense, like they all need to feel distinct. So I think, I mean, I went to college at it was a nursing school, but I went there for graphic design. And I met a bunch of people there, and I didn't really know many artists. So like I had the influence of other people who were like really good at nursing and really good at science. And later on, I went to SCAD to study motion design, which is, I would say, completely different than like making comics, but learning both graphic design and motion design have also helped influence how I design my characters. For instance, does this style lend itself to being animated? Like, are the characters easy enough to draw that potentially this could, you know, become an anime? Or how does, you know, or using like graphic design skills to like make a logo and make sure the text layout of each panel looks good and appealing, you know, doesn't cover the character and the art. So yeah, I would say just the amalgamation of all my different life experiences have definitely helped me and influenced my comic. And I do think it is important to put some of yourself and your situations into your characters and into your story, because it's very easy to make a relatable character, you know, if you put some human qualities that you already know about in there.
Awesome. I like that. Okay. So for those who have not heard or have not read your comic yet, can you like go like give it like a Reader's Digest like description of what it's about? And...
Yeah. So originally this story, Poem of Light, was a story that kind of came to mind in seventh grade maybe, where I think I'd seen like in a magazine a picture of like a rainbow, and I thought, oh, how cool would it be for someone to take a picture of a rainbow that was caused by lightning. And I was going to make this whole story about this kid who like takes a picture of the lightning bow, but then he gets struck by lightning and it alters his vision. And that became the catalyst for the story. So that element is still very much in there. But instead of it being like this drama, I made it a romance and a short story for the Webtoon short story contest. So I guess the gist of it is this kid, he's an aspiring photographer. His name is Pez, like the candy, but it's short for Pescal. Yeah, he has this crush on this girl who she just wants to help him reach his dream. One day when he's confronted with a photographer and is looking to get his work out there, you know, shenanigans ensue, and then he finds himself in a bit of a pickle where on one of the photography trips he goes on, he ends up being stranded in that jungle, and he gets hit by lightning, and his vision is altered. And the whole plot, I guess, revolves around him trying to get back home using this new power. I don't know if it's really a power ability, skill, eyeballness, to get back home to finally confess to the girl he loves that he wants to marry her. So, yeah, there we go. That's Poem of Light in a nutshell. It's really fun.
Okay.
Read it.
I think you already went over a little bit, but just in case, how did you come up with these characters? How would you describe how you came up with them?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So Pez, I originally was going to make him like this older man, like in his 20s, like maybe 28 or something, and like his hair was going to be like half white and half black, like almost like a Cruella de Vil type of design, but that was in high school. So I had to redesign, make it cute and love story like. So I just kind of drew a bunch of different like farmer style boys, and his hair style came naturally to me, but it took a few tries to get his like skin tone and his hair color matching, and I came up with a scheme for him. And then of course the love interest, Claire, always just kind of liked that name for like a female love interest character for some reason, so I just made the girl he likes, her name is Claire, and I wanted her color palette to be like light and airy, so of course blue, and then a signature pink ribbon. And the last character to come into place was actually James. I wanted there to be someone who comes into town and kind of like sees Pez's talent and like offers him a job. And at first he was going to be an older man as well, but like 80, who was like, hey, I need some young blood in my agency. And I don't know, I guess I've been watching a lot of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, so I guess Joestar's hat really stuck out to me, so I wanted to make a character with a hat. I still have my first doodle of who James is now. I'm just really happy that even though he was a very simple design, he in my mind at least, is very memorable. And I got the name James after one of my other favorite artists who, he actually experiments with light to make sculptures. And his name is James Terrell. And one of my favorite quotes by him is, "For light to exist, something must burn." Just like that spark, you know, just kind of stuck with me. And so I wanted to name the character James after him. And then Wiley was actually his last name. The James in my story. And Wiley came from this other guy. I forget his first name now because I'm so used to saying James Wiley. But anyways, he was a famous photographer who kind of made all of his students at the Georgia University he taught at. He told them, hey guys, don't use actual cameras. You're going to use pinhole cameras to do your photography. And so once I did that research, everything came together, and I made that be a focal point of the story, that Pez would use pinhole photography for his photographs.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Okay. I have another question from another fellow artist friend of mine. How do you deal with deadlines versus medical shortcomings such as getting sick or developing a writer's block,
Whoa,
I guess?
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, well, this was such an interesting year because it was COVID, and luckily I did not get sick, but I did lose my job, which is okay because that gave me enough time to learn how to make a comic. So that's one of the biggest things I learned, is how to set a deadline and keep to it. It's kind of funny because I did not keep to the deadline of this comic at all. It was supposed to be done in 3 months, and it took 6 months. And that was largely because I wasn't sure how many panels to put in there, and it was just a lot of trial and error in the beginning. So now I've learned to keep things short, like keep the updates short, and that'll actually make it easier for your deadline. So actually in any upcoming projects, I'm probably going to have a little bit more of a simpler art style, I'm going to try to do it all in one program. Yeah, I think it's just going to be like shorter chapters all around. And the problem with Poem of Light is I was trying to cram this huge, not, I wouldn't say huge, but like a bigger story that's supposed to be bigger than five chapters into five chapters. So it could have actually been like seven or eight chapters long, and I'd have been able to update them all probably faster because it's easier to just get stuff out. But the restrictions of the contest made it a little harder. So yeah, I guess like that's my advice for aspiring artists. You have to kind of experiment to figure out how much you can get done in what amount of time, and then create a realistic goal from that point on. I've seen some artists do schedules where they say, hey, I'm going to have one day of just sketching everything out. The next day is going to be inking everything. The next day is going to be adding the word balloons. And then the last day is for like coloring and stuff like that, and then final touches. So that's something that you'll have to finesse yourself. That's something that I'm actually going to try to improve on for my next project.
Cool. All right. Now, I have a question for you. Do you do all the artwork, the story, and everything on your own, or do you have help with it, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. I would say most artists who are starting out, I would say it would be very lucky of you to have someone helping you out and someone helping you out for free even. I actually did have to hire two friends to ink a page for me, or ink a chapter for me, and they helped me tremendously for like two or three of the chapters because it was just so much work. I did like over 100 panels per chapter, which I don't know what I was thinking, but that was a lot of panels. So anyways, I did have help for a couple of those chapters. So again, if you have people who can help you, that would be amazing. I would say hire them right away. Maybe even pay them in cupcakes if that's all you can afford. That's again another reason why I would like keep your projects a little bit shorter. It's just so you are able to manage it all by yourself if you have to. In the future, I think I would like to have someone helping me here and there, but I'll need a day job to be able to pay them.
Yeah, you can't pay an exposure. I know that much.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just joking because I did actually pay the people that I did hire. One of my friends, Phil Stankus, he does his own comic on Webtoon called Dogland.
Mm-hmm.
And this other artist, she doesn't have a Webtoon yet, but she is so talented as well. Her name is Kiyomi Ong.
Mm-hmm.
And she did the all the line work for like the last two chapters. And she has just like really nice like brush stroke effect that she does, like with the pen pressure, that I find really, really beautiful. So I really am proud of their work.
What kind of media do you like to use to make your comments / what kind of media do you like to just make in art in general?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's definitely, I think it goes hand in hand. Use whatever program you're comfortable with. But for me, I've been using the iPad Pro, like one of the original ones that came out, and Procreate. I think I've used them for like almost 4 years now, maybe a little over 4 years. So I've been making my comic almost entirely in there, except I've imported the slides into Clip Studio Paint so I can crop things the way I need to, as well as add the word bubbles. Clip Studio Paint for sure gives you a lot of control. So it's my goal for this next year to learn more about Clip Studio Paint. But for Poem of Light, I pretty much did all of it, at least all the artwork and the drawing and the line work in Procreate. It's just very handy, very easy to use.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I like Procreate as well.
I'm really glad to use it. It's fun.
Yeah. All right. So what kind of advice would you give to aspiring artists that are listening about creating their own comic or artwork or anything in general?
Yeah. Well, I would say making a webtoon or, you know, a comic in general is a great way to level up your skills because you have to draw the same characters over and over again. It teaches you how to work on deadlines, how to do every step of the process, and even like balloon placement. I think just doing a comic will give you that experience. Like the amount of nuanced things that you can learn just by doing something. It just, I don't know. It's like if you're going to the gym all the time and you look at your biceps and you're like, ah, I'm so bulky. How did this happen? It's just gradual steps. But if you look at Poem of Light, you'll see that my art style changed or improved a little bit from the first chapter to the last chapter. In the very first two chapters, all the panels are a lot smaller, and you don't get that full screen effect like you do in the last couple chapters where, I don't know, I was maximizing the use of the vertical scrolling format. Yeah, that's one thing I learned, is just how to maximize your format. And then panel placement, like pacing is really important. You learn like how to actually use the white space to your advantage. I think that's very valuable to learn. But even just drawing your characters, because you're drawing the same characters over and over again, if you limit your characters in the beginning, like if you do your own short story, that's probably like the best thing I can recommend to anybody, because then it teaches you all those things. You have a deadline. At the end, you have like this finished project that you can be proud of. But yeah, and then being able to post your work and get some feedback on it, you know, and find whatever social media platform you like Twitter, or I like Instagram a lot. You get feedback from other artists even, and you can connect with them, do collaborations and do fan art. And it's really cool to like grow this community. All that to say, I recommend that anyone aspiring to be a Webtoon artist, I would say start off with a short story if you can, and then like outline all the chapters and then figure out what's feasible. How does it take you to do that first chapter start to finish? Do I need help? Do I need, to learn this program better? If you're using a new program, you're definitely going to learn it by doing a comic.
I would concur with that. I would concur with that statement, with those statements. All right. Cool.
That's great.
Now, if people wanted to read Poem of Light, where could they find it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, webtoon.com or the Webtoon app. It's currently solely on Webtoon. I know there's a bunch of other comic platforms out there. I might get it on Tapas at some point, but yeah, the best place to read it is on the Webtoon app, I would say, because it allows for like a seamless experience. It's really just nice to read comics on your phone that are vertically scrolling anyways, because you don't have to like tap for pages, you can just keep scrolling. So I've published solely on Webtoon.
Mm-hmm. Have you have any plans to publish it like physically now that it's complete?
That's a good question. If I did that, I think I would like have to redo a couple of like panels or pages, but if there's not really a demand for it, then I don't think so. Right now I'm just starting out. So I would probably like wait and see, like either if it gets more popular later on, because, you know, I'd want people to actually buy it. I'm going to print all these copies. So I guess like establishing a fan base would be the bigger goal first. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's out of the question. I think it would be really fun to have Poem of Light be full color, in a physical copy. Like, who doesn't dream of that? But yeah, I think I have a chance with maybe gaining a little bit more popularity if I can publish a few different works out there and kind of figure out my own groove. Like, okay, am I better at romance? Am I better at comedy? Am I better at action? Like, figure out what I'm best at writing, what people most want at the time, before I decide anything like that.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, Diana, for coming on to the podcast. Before we let you go, I just wanted to give you a chance to go ahead and promote any social media places that people can find you on, so they can follow your work and stuff.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, Josh. Yeah. I'm mainly on Instagram and Twitter. And it's at Dianasaur Studio, DianaSaur, you know, like a dinosaur. Dianasaur Studio _ Webtoon for Instagram. And then just Dianasaur Studio for Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah, then check out her artwork. It's amazing stuff. I really, really love all the stuff that she posts. Her artwork is beautiful to look at. So you get my seal of approval, Diana. So
I'm honored. Thank you so much. Awesome. Glad you like it.
Well, thank you again so much for joining us. And again, you guys can go to Webtoons and look up Poem of Light and see the comic online. Anything else you wanted to say to the people before we go?
Never stop creating. It's amazing. And also, Happy New Year.
Also, Happy New Year. All right. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks, Josh. Have a good one.
Before we end the podcast, again, I would like to thank Diana Rex for coming on to our podcast and talking about her webcomic, Poem of Light. And before we leave, folks, I want to just give you some contact information for myself in case you guys want to get a hold of me. You can find me on our website, thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. We have tons of other articles by a lot of our other contributors, as well as web comics, and check out the Electric Circus and other podcasts that we've done in the past. So check those out at, again, thearcadearchives.com. Now, if you want to get a hold of me personally, you can find me in three different places on social media. First, you can find me at both Instagram and Twitter at ubernerd527. That's, again, ubernerd527, U-B-E-R-N-E-R-D 527. And I'll be on there regularly. You can also find our website's official Instagram account at The Arcade Archives. Again, that's The Arcade Archives. You can see all kinds of announcements and when we post new stuff, so check that out on Instagram. And you can also find me on Twitch every Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am playing a new video game on Twitch for Sunday night streaming. As of the recording of this podcast, we'll be playing through Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity for the Nintendo Switch. So come and join us on Sunday night for Sunday night streaming with Joshua. And you can check me out there as well. Well, folks, I want to thank you again for joining us for our first podcast of 2021. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back here in just a little bit with some more podcasts. We're also going to start doing more often the Instagram live discussions, which we will also be turning into podcasts as well. But if you want to join us live and even have your comments read, go to The Arcade Archives on Instagram, and you can find us there. We'll be announcing our next discussion in just a little bit. Once again, thank you for joining us for the Electric Circus podcast. Keep playing like it's 1981. Bye, everyone.
Hey, Arcaders, this is Ray Gunn from the Arcade Archives Network. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes, please give it 5 stars. A lot of time and patience go into every podcast we do. 5-star ratings help us so we can continue giving you this quality entertainment every month. And don't forget to share us with your friends. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe to our channel. And if you're over on our Facebook page, please like and share. Once again, we do this for you guys, and we enjoy doing it every single month. So every little bit helps. So please go online and like us today. Thanks. Keep playing like it's 1981, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye now.
The Electric Circus is a part of the Arcade Archives Network and is produced by What's This Button Do Productions. Hey, guys, what's this button do?
That's what the button does.
The Electric Circus is a part of the Arcade Archives Network.